Ready? Good. I'm good.
Good?
Yeah.
How's my hair?
It's wonderful.
How's my hair, audience? Not bad? All right.
It's nest-like.
And with that, welcome to this live, completely unnecessary podcast. Special! Oh, we have light.
We've never had lighting.
Live at the Long Island Retro Gaming Expo! Wow! We are back to talk about retro games. We're here to eat lots of Italian food and pastries supplied,
so
by, you supplied by you generous folks. I'm running on sugar and carbs right now. Ian had his French toast bagel with cream cheese, which should be outlawed. I think it is. I think in Utah it's outlawed there, I heard.
I had cold meatball pizza this morning.
Oh, how was
that? That was great. And then I had the French toast bagel.
Yes.
And then I snuck the strawberry tart out of the tart box.
Okay.
That was really good. And then I did the sandwiches and the mac salad and the potato salad and the heavy salads.
So you're just about 98% carbs and sugar.
I'm ready to go. Yeah.
You're ready to go.
So much energy.
We're ready to go. Today on this special, we'll be talking about
stuff.
The Nintendo Switch 2, which seems to be getting more steam as an actual thing that's going to actually come out at an actual date.
Inevitable things are inevitable.
They are, just like Thanos. And then also we're talking about, we have a special scumbag seller of the week.
We do.
And we'll do a Q&A and we'll talk about coming up on our 10-year anniversary of the podcast in only 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
It was the end of... Thank you so much.
Are you bringing any vegetables over? 2 weeks.
It was the end of August.
Does anyone ever, like, recognize... Thank you, Jesus. Okay, just wanted to make sure I'm not being weird.
Yeah, I'm on Mars. All right. So, Ian... The Nintendo Switch is a very popular console. Did you know that?
Sure is, Patrick.
You know it's sold over 100 million units?
Wow.
Between itself and the Lite? Did you know that?
I did, because we've talked about it. But that's like approaching PS2 territory. It beat the Wii.
It beat the Wii. I didn't see that coming. We didn't see that coming. And it's a hybrid console. And for a long time, it's been rumored, when is the next console coming? When are we going to be there? Because the lifespan of a Nintendo console before the next one comes is usually only like 5 or 6 years.
Well, it depends.
I mean, NES, to, if you don't count Super Famicom, it's about 7. But NES to Super Nintendo was 6. Super Nintendo to N64 was only 5.
Oh, shit.
N64 to GameCube was 5 again in 2001. 5 years until the Wii. 6 years until the disaster that was the Wii U. Then only 4 years until... 5 years from Wii U to Switch. So it's about 5-ish years usually.
The GBA was a pretty short-lived cycle too. 5 years.
For the GBA?
Yeah.
In between that and the regular?
Actually, it was less than 5 years, I think.
Well, let's stick to the non-handheld team for now.
I'm just saying. It's just a pattern. You're right. I'm agreeing with
you. So that's why the Switch is getting longer in the tooth. It's been a while since the Switch came out. It's been almost 7 years, 6.5 years.
Yes.
That's nuts. So finally, we have more and more news coming out that the Switch 2 is going to be coming out sometime in 2024. Supposedly, developers have some form of it, probably some sort of like dev unit thing.
Correct.
So that means at that point, specs are locked. Once devs get their kits, specs are pretty much locked in at that point. You're pretty much ready to go. So I brought up this TomsGuy.com article, which just got updated 4 days ago.
Old Tom.
By Roland Moore Collier, about what they know so far. So did you get a chance to take a look at this?
I did. Apparently, basically, you know, the big one, I think, is the Ubisoft CEO just might have hinted at the existence of the Nintendo Switch 2, talking about, I believe, the sales on Mario and Rabbids. And I can't recall if it was a slight decline, but I think basically talking about the next game, they thought maybe it would be on a new system.
Sure.
It's that time. Nintendo accounts will transfer to the Switch 2. Nintendo confirmed that. That's not something that you really go out of your way to confirm unless something is coming up. You don't say, hey, 5 years in the future, you'll be able to use this product, and you go, okay, thanks for the heads up. I don't care. But they're going to let you know that closer.
Reports of 512 gigs of onboard storage. That's pretty,
wow.
Pretty nice.
Wow. Oh, no, it's not.
Nice. I mean.
That's very, very
for
small.
For a handheld.
No,
I mean.
Patrick, but it's supposed to be a console system too. And 512 gigabytes is a kick in the dick.
It
should be a terabyte.
A terabyte?
At least.
All right. Well, Nintendo's trying to keep it. They're slow. They like to slow roll on this stuff.
This is just Nintendo Nintendo.
You'll get a terabyte in 10 years from now. This says early 2024 launch report. I don't think that's going to happen? I mean, what's early?
That's a bunch of hooey.
What do you think? What's early? Like, what does that mean? Because by this point, in 2016, it was like heavily rumored that it was going to come out pretty soon, and then the marketing started like that fall. But like this would have to go in pretty quick. They confirmed, like you said, the backwards compatibility, which could be hinted, Ubisoft stuff on here. Then the specs. So probably it's going to use another Tegra chip. And why is that important? Because the Tegra chips, you give me that look, has the DLSS technology in that.
AI upscaling, basically.
Basically. And that this they announced this. We talked about this, I think, years ago about this chip having this. So what that would mean is that you could fake using just a Tegra chip. You could fake kind of 4K without actually having it be natively 4K.
Right.
You're basically using software trickery to do hardware work, and obviously that would be important because your console is always going to be less powered, underpowered versus the Xbox consoles and the Sony consoles. But so now it's almost like Nintendo held out as long as they possibly could to do something like 4K.
Basically, they could stay within their usual routine of using cheaper parts to build something, mm-hmm. but perhaps use the software side of it to make it look like more than it is.
Sure. So that's interesting. So it's probably going to be an upgraded Tegra chip because you would imagine that the specs on the Switch were probably locked in like 2015 or so on that chip. So we're talking about a chip that's like 8 years newer, like 7, 8 years. So a new generation. Plus, I found something that Ian said we talked about in the past. Either way, off of Reddit, I found this. Nintendo patented in 2020 systems and methods for machine-learned image conversion. They patented this. So whether they use the Tegra chip's built-in DLSS technology to do like upscaling or the one they supposedly, I guess, came up themselves. A computer system is provided for converting images through use of a trained neural network. A source image is divided into blocks and context data is added to each pixel block. The context blocks are split into channels and each channel from the same context block is added to the same activation matrix. The action matrix is then executed against a trained neural network to produce a changed activation matrix. The changed activation matrix is then used to generate a converted image. We're going to be upscaling.
Good, great.
That's what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
That's a fancy way of saying that. But the fact that Nintendo...
I love a good matrix.
Obviously, Nintendo has been working on this for years and years that they patented it in 2020. So they knew that, hey, we have to offer 4K graphics in the future. We have to offer something to keep up with the other big boys, Microsoft and Sony.
And fudging it with magic tricks.
And fudging it with magic tricks versus losing money on their console, which Nintendo does not like to lose money on their consoles. They can't pull a Steam Deck and lose hundreds of dollars on each one sold. That's not their business model. So basically Nintendo held out hope, and here we are.
And because they can't afford to lose money on it, they're probably going to call it the Switch U.
Well, I think they would hopefully have learned their lesson from the Wii U.
Or the Wii Switch. That would be fun.
The Wii Switch.
Switch Wii.
I think Super Switch would be fine. Super Switch?
New Wii U.
New Wii U Switch U? Switch U?
New Switch U.
Anyway, so what do you think is interesting, Ian, that the fact that Nintendo is trusting their own sort of engineers to be like, we're going to do our own machine learning. We don't need Tegra.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, patents don't necessarily mean anything. I just want to see what this actually looks like in practice. Sure. I want to know if there's input lag or anything like that on it. I don't know. It could be good. But it's also early on.
But I think they have to realize that we can't, in 2024, not have 4K for our, because at this point, it's almost like you can't buy a non-4K TV anymore. So you're pretty much set with, 4K, which is, to me, going to be the final frontier. I don't think you'd ever need a Nintendo console in 8K, but what do I know? I think
it's going to get that way. I mean, a few years ago, you would have said the same thing about 4K.
Yeah, but you can't know the difference between 4K and 8K on a 50-inch
TV. But you are consistently an old man dying on
the
hill.
I am an old man dying on the hill.
I think we'll get there, whether it's necessary or not.
You're a TV shill, and you want our 16K TVs. Upgraded to 4K. They can't go 8 or 16K. Who here has an 8K TV? Anyone? Nobody has an 8K. Does anyone still have a 1080p? Some of you holding out like me, the 1080? Okay. My TV's going, so I'm going to be forced to do 4K in the future.
I'm telling you, go OLED.
We got a band playing it. A little sick Mario music outside.
Awesome.
As Mario's on the screen behind us. At like 50 feet tall.
It's terrifying.
So I would think that the price of this would probably still be around $300. I don't see Nintendo going to $400 on something. And if the hardware specs are like probably still... still underpowered. I think that's what you're going to see. What's that? You're in thought?
That was my in thought stance.
We're going into business mode right now.
Thoughtfully listening to what you're saying.
So this could also be why maybe you haven't heard anything. Well, because they had to relaunch the entire development of Metroid Prime 4.
Sure.
But that's on its way. That's probably more closer than further at this point. And I'm not saying that would be like a launch. It's not going to be a launch title, I don't think. But I think that'd be like a big first-party release within the first year or so of the console, I can picture.
So you don't think Metroid will come out on the Switch?
No. I think they're going to pull a Breath of the Wild where we're going to hold out and maybe put them out. We'll put them out both at the same time, but we're going to wait. We're going to wait.
Makes sense.
But we're going to give you the 4K one that everyone's going to want on the Super Switch.
Right.
You know, because that's basically what happened with the you know, they held it back for the Switch, Breath of the Wild, to make sure it was the killer app. But I don't know what's going to launch with this. That's why maybe early next year might be too soon.
I don't know. Early next year is an absolute joke of a prediction. That's not happening.
So you can picture maybe OLED screen on it. You're going to get probably 60 frames hopefully locked on all these games at least versus 30.
Do you think? Have you been paying attention? So many things on the Xbox Series are coming out at 30 frames per second locked. Starfield, 30 frames per second.
Oh,
Redfall, or whatever the hell it was called, 30
frames
per second.
Yeah, but I don't picture the Switch having something like a Starfield on it.
No, but I don't think there's any guarantee that Nintendo of all companies,
Nintendo,
is going to lock... Nintendo is not the tech company. They're not going to be like, all of our games, 60 frames.
They just filed a patent. It's like, I got the patent.
We're not getting 60. I don't think there's a chance in hell we're getting...
They got machine learning. They got AI. They got Skynet that's going to do it for us.
Why are you putting so much faith in the robots?
The robots are overlords for video gaming. It's all becoming clear, according to Raw Meat Cowboy at Go Nintendo, and I trust Raw Meat Cowboy.
I definitely trust Raw Meat Cowboy.
Oh, there goes my internet. It's done. It took too much Raw Meat Cowboy. So there it is.
Took too much raw meat
from
the cowboy.
It's gone.
The cowboy raw meated you.
So yeah, I think it's going to be fun the next few months to see the big trailers coming out. And
it's just every 3 months you get someone saying the Switch 2 is coming. And like I said, it's just a matter of inevitability.
Well, yeah, we're 7 years years. You think, yeah, it's now time.
Right.
It's now time.
Yeah.
A whole dog year. So are you all looking forward to the Switch 2?
Yeah.
I saw Daniel there. Maybe. As long as it's backwards compatible, you transfer everything over. I'm in.
Yeah.
If it's not backwards compatible, I will riot.
This person will riot.
They will throw a brick.
This person will riot if it's not backwards compatible. No, I have a feeling.
We'll toss some cans.
If the machine learning is a feature or the upscaling, they can get people that have a big Switch library to say, hey, better performance with your old Switch games the Super Switch.
I mean,
that would be a selling point for a lot of people to upgrade.
That was a selling point, I think. That's what got PS5s into people's hands sooner than later, is they're like, oh, okay, I can make my entire library
because
run nicer.
Because a lot of people probably, I didn't, when the OLED Switch came out, I was like, well, what is this doing for me? It looks a little bit nicer, great. But on a TV, who cares? So like this would get me in that, to continue into the Switch ecosystem for the next generation, if you offer me a little bit on the old software we have.
Ecosystem. How many biomes does the Switch have?
The biomes? Is that all on the Super Switch? Are we any longer on the Super Switch, Ian?
No, it's a lot of speculation.
Speculation, but now dev units in hand
means
it's a thing, officially.
Yes. I mean, you know, we can look at this totally accurate picture that shows the Switch with a dual screen on it. That was interesting.
Oh, that's probably not
little mock-ups. Yeah,
that's probably not.
BS. That is clearly a picture of a Switch a 2DS. That's totally a 2DS with a Switch logo.
Well, you know, they're mocking it up. Image credit is someone at Lightframe. So
it's clickbait from TomsGuide.com.
Hey, I trust Tom's Guide is my source of Toms.
Who's Tom?
Tom's, Tommy's, and Thomas's.
Tom who?
Yes. Well, we all have our favorite Tommies out there, right?
It all
comes back to Tommy.
It's not the burgers in LA, though.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
So, Ian, we have a special scumbag seller
of the week.
This scumbag seller of the week is Full Description Video Games.
Yep,
full
on eBay. Description.
Full Description Video Games, which their seller information is, please read the full description, which is always a great sign for your eBay seller. It's always like the most trustworthy eBay sellers is please read the full description.
Trying to legally cover your ass right from the screen name is a sure sign that you're buying a quality product.
So this seller was alerted to us via someone on Twitter, I believe. Who alert us to this auction? We'll go through some more.
An alert list.
Castlevania, the polished CIB.
In quotes.
Please read the full description. That's what it says on the. And here you see a Castlevania. Screen's off. Are we back on? We're back. I didn't touch anything. So we got Castlevania. This is polished. Keep in mind, polished. So what we're gonna do is listen to the seller, and we're gonna read the full description.
Here we go.
We're gonna scroll down, scroll.
I like to read.
Okay, you go for it, Ian.
This is Castlevania for Nintendo NES, an excellent adventure game that is still enjoyed by millions. Please note that this is the polished CIB, in quotes. What is the polished CIB, you may ask? Excellent question. The game and manual are original, and the box is an excellent reproduction. See photos for details. The box itself looks just like the original, but uses newer cardstock on the inside and with a glossy, polished look and feel on the outside. So it doesn't look just like the original. Great for personal use or for resale for a sky-high fucking profit. The bomb was inserted. Yes, it's that good. Ships via USPS priority mail for just $9.99. Please feel free to contact me with any questions, concerns before bidding. As always, thanks for reading the full description and shopping at Full Description Video Games.
Okay. All right, there's some red flags here. Just a few.
It's a little bit of a minefield.
So first of all, it's polished, which I guess I mean glossy. Polished, glossy. But on the inside of it, they don't mention anything like saying reproduction on the box. We move a little bit over. We want to see your lovely face in the video there. Someone laughed at that. Give it up for Ian's lovely face. See? We love Ian. Now he's blushing. Now he's like super. His cheeks are as red as his shirt right now. Anyway, so. Oh, I didn't say which cheeks. Anyway, so.
Those ones probably.
So, God.
I'm half baboon.
Okay. So the fact that the inside has a glossy, polished look. So why would that be great?
No, the inside does not. It's new cardstock on the inside with a glossy, polished-like looking feel on the outside.
Okay, so newer stock on the inside.
Structure.
Wow, Ian's grammar explaining me right now. I'm uncomfortable.
You should
so
be.
Great for personal use. First of all, you don't personally use boxes anyway. It's just a display item.
Right.
You don't personally use these boxes.
Store some crackers in
there. Yeah, exactly.
sleeve of cookies.
Throw your dime bag in there in high school, hide it in there. You probably did that.
No, I told you. So you know the underside of the NES where you can clip that thing off?
The extension.
You can clip the little extension part off. I used to hide my LSD in that thing and just put it back. No one's ever going to find that.
Any children here? Don't do drugs, kids. Anyway, so, but then resell for a sky-high profit. So they're basically assuming that this is going to be used to scam someone.
Yes. No, they're telling you.
The assumption
outright
is that, hey, you should scam people. I might be scamming you right now because this went for $112 for a counterfeit box, but you can scam others. But pass the scam on to the next person.
But think about this. This is not even that lucrative for him because it's an original cartridge in an original manual. Mm-hmm. So he's already putting money into this. That's got to be at this point at least $60 worth of, you know, stuff.
Sure, but he's doubling his money because it costs nothing to do those boxes, basically.
But they're polished.
Polished. Okay, so that, the value increases it's like for the
extra,
polish.
That's like an extra 5 cents on the printing process per box.
Extra like layer of polish on there. Extra coat of varnish on there.
Shellac.
Shellacking. So there's
safe wax.
So what's that? Oh, a styrofoam piece. That's a repro. It could be. You can buy those though.
You gotta taste it to find out.
You gotta lick the styrofoam the same.
They've changed the formula.
So
over
there's
the
more.
Years.
There's more. Is this the same one here? What was the starting bid? I don't know. Maybe. I'm guessing a dollar. I don't know. But there was also a Mike Tyson's Punch Out. The custom CIB. This has one day left, so we don't know where this is going to end up. This one is scarier because now, really good condition, complete in box Mike Tyson's can go for several hundred dollars. They have gone up because of the WADA stuff happening and heritage auctions and the seal stuff. If you have a good condition Mike Tyson's punch out, thanks for the boo. These can go for $700, $1,000. So this is where you really can scam someone.
Yeah.
So read the full DESC desk or description. Can't fit. Okay. Is it the same thing? Let's see. Yes, it's the same thing. This is the custom CIB.
And also it's the same first sentence too. It's enjoyed by millions.
What is it? Here you go. Polished feel. Does it mention that you can resell it? Oh, they didn't mention about the... Oh, it is. There it is. Sky high profit.
Sky high.
So buy it for me for a couple hundred dollars, and maybe some dumb rube can buy it for $1,000. Is this allowed on eBay? How is this allowed?
They've got to look like shit when you get them, too. Because this dude's telling, like, if you could resell stuff for sky high profits, then why isn't he doing it?
Well, I mean, he's trying to.
He's not trying to sell it for sky high profits. If you can get sky high profits, why isn't he going for the sky high profits? Why is he passing the deal on to you?
Well, because he thinks it's probably in his head. Well, if I don't scam someone directly and just I'll be the secondary scammer. I'll be like one removed on the branch of scammer. So I feel better about
it. Oh, if he thinks he can get sky high profits, he should say it with his chest.
I'm not going to scam someone.
He should do it.
I'll sell to Ian, and he'll scam someone so that I'm free and clear.
Yeah, but he doesn't get the money. If it was genuinely good enough to get a sky high profit, there's no reason he would be selling these for sky low profits.
So you're saying his scumbag seller level, your scumbag seller level, he should be shooting higher for to be a scumbag seller.
He should be. If he stands behind his product.
Does he stand behind his custom CIB polish?
He clearly fucking doesn't stand. It would be so easy.
How polished is that navel on that boxer right there? That's a polished navel.
It is.
On that boxer right there.
You could fit maybe a stack of four quarters in that navel.
Tyson's going for you. I don't think this guy gets enough credit on the box. I don't feel he gets enough credit.
A few chiclets, maybe.
So that's that one there. Yeah, by the way, you see how I was looking at? I was looking at parts of my Cobra Rattler.
I thought that
right
was
here.
A grape dot.
No, that's the tail end.
I love dots.
Anyway, so you can see I've been getting the G.I. Joe putting together the pieces on my vehicles
lately.
Do you
have everything back for your sweet battle platform?
Oh, my sweet battle? Oh, yeah. That's a
sweet
platform. That's 100%
that is
complete.
The definition
the tactical,
of a sweet toy.
It's tactical.
Tactical it is.
Tactical platform, G.I. Joe.
Rope.
Shout out to G.I. Joe. Anyone? No.
Toys. I'm not really into it. But
that's why we can't get a real movie. That applause right there.
His platform is cool, though.
They would see the end of the Transformers, the new one? Spoilers. They set up G.I. Joe in a really awful way, but hopefully they make a better movie. Anyone see Snake Eyes that came out a couple years ago? Horrible. I mean, it was just a ninja movie, but it didn't...
All right, I'm not going to bash Hasbro. I want to work with them. I want to do a new season cartoon and write it. All right, what else we got here? We also have Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. I think this is actually real. Some of the stuff the seller has is actually real, I believe. Yeah, this one's a real one.
He seeds in legit stuff.
But this one is not.
Keep the feds off.
The Aero Fighters Polished CIB. Aero Fighters Complete in Box. This is the one that is scariest because an Aero Fighters cart alone goes for now over $1,000.
Yes.
Just the cart.
Yep.
I think someone I saw bought here for like $1,400. So a complete box one, I have to imagine, goes for $2,000 to $3,000, I'm guessing. And so full description, you think this is real and only went for a few dollars. Experience the thrill of shooting scrolling shooters games with Aero Fighters. The game is a boxing subgenre. A boxing subgenre that promises to keep you engaged for hours on end. A boxing subgenre?
It is. It's a lot like the Sweet Science.
Special edition. The box has brand new glossy exterior, blah, 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 blah. Please note this is a reproduction as the game itself. As is the game itself, which works great, and the manual. So this is holy.
That gloss.
This is 100% counterfeit. No real manual, no real game. And so the person that buys this, you can make the argument that, yeah, maybe some people that want to buy a polished CIB want it for their collection. I'm always like, why do you want to pretend you have a counterfeit item and put on your shelf? I just don't get that.
I wonder, like, the focus on polished leads me to believe that these would come out of the box, like, still tacky.
Still tacky.
Still a little tacky.
It comes off on your fingers?
Yeah. Like there's a couple embedded cat hairs.
Oh, from the department. The thumbprint from someone in the black right there. What
starts
else I got
yellow,
here?
You can pick it off like an old chair.
Well, they have a home run for Atari. I have to imagine that one's actually authentic.
Have you seen the prices of home run lately? It's a very expensive game.
Home run. All right. And then most of the stuff. Oh, great. There's a CIB WADA. People booing WADA. That's where we're at. WADA's become the boogeyman of the retro game community. I love it. They're like the boogeyman. So anyway, so that's full description video game / read the full description.
Full description. Full.
We read the full description of a few.
It just rolls right off the tongue.
Yep. Well, they have 100% positive feedback. If I had internet, I would probably read some of the feedback. But please, if you see this on eBay, even though they're probably not going to take it down, please report these. It takes a couple seconds. You click and be like, this is counterfeit. But eBay makes their money even off of counterfeits. They don't care, unfortunately. Amazon has counterfeit stuff on it for games from AliExpress. No one cares. Nothing is sacred anymore, Ian. That's the sad part.
The polished eBay.
The polished eBay. They just do a separate section you click on. It's just all polished games. It's a subgenre of the retro games. It's just the polished.
I'm picturing the person saying polished with like a wine glass in their hand.
Well, it's really, it's the vintage of this polished.
A little piece of cheese.
A 2023 vintage of this.
A little bit of cheeser. Like a rat.
All right, well, that's all for that seller, Ian.
Yeah, it is all for that seller.
I'm sure more will be in the future. Well, we're coming now to we're going to do a little Q&A. We'll talk about almost we're 9 years and 50 weeks from into a podcast that we've been doing for almost 10 years.
I could have sworn the first episode came out early August.
You always say that. Yeah. I double-checked it last week, and it was end of August.
End of August.
End of August.
I feel like maybe we recorded in July, and maybe it didn't get out until then.
I'm not that lazy. I can edit within a week. I don't know. We recorded it in August. It came out in August.
My brain's always stuck on late July, early August.
So any thoughts, Ian, about almost 10 years? We talked about – we reminisced on the 350th episode. And was that February or so? So
I mean, not to sound too serious about it, but I looked at the earliest episodes of the podcast, and I looked in the mirror, and that's 10 years. That's 10 years of living on my face. That's definitely
we're both a bit older.
A decade worth of shit. It definitely.
People refer to you as that was the Prince Valiant, Ian.
The Prince Valiant, sure.
Because clean shaved. You had the nice.
I can't. I can't shave. I don't have a chin. I should have been wearing a full beard in like
you have a chin?
High school. No, I don't. That's maybe a mogul, like a ski mogul, like a little bump.
Okay.
Someone can do a little trick off my chin.
Okay.
Tiny one. But,
all right. Can't do a 360 or 180?
I don't know.
Maybe a 180.
Just a little hot dogging. A little hot dogging on the moguls. That's
okay.
That's a big one. I don't know. What do you think about 10 years? It's an amazing.
I had to put up with this. I had to, for 10 years.
Amazing that we've done this. I had to put up with you for 10 years. It's incredible that we've done that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of
actually, it's not that
a lot of married couples stay together and they shouldn't. I mean, it is what it is. But
yeah, we provide each other support in ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there for each other. Friends are there.
I mean, through basketball, certainly. You are a good basketball.
It's the rare physical contact.
Yeah.
Three.
I'm not even
two,
adding to it.
One.
To
okay.
Take advantage.
All right. That's.
It makes Pat.
And now we're good for 18 months. Yeah. That's good. A second every 6 months is the rule. There. So no. Yeah. It's been a nice.
Watching you transform from the video game friend into the basketball friend has been interesting.
Yeah, basketball Ian is a lot nicer. We commiserate more in basketball lately. It's great. New season coming out.
Yeah, you do lean heavily on trying to convert me into a Warriors fan, though. It's just not
I don't try
happen.
To convert you, but you're like, this Steph Curry guy is not special. I'm like, what?
No, I think Steph Curry is a great player. I don't find him particularly fascinating.
You know, that he's 6'2", is the top 10 player. He's a tiny player.
Look, I'm sorry. I've never said he's not a lad. I've just said he doesn't excite me.
Okay.
Steph Curry doesn't excite me.
I think little Steph Curry is adorable, and he's very nice. He's a great player.
He was in the crypto.
No, he advertised that exchange, but that's it.
Oh, I see.
NFT a little bit. You're allowed to make a mistake. Everyone's allowed mistakes. Even Steph Curry's allowed mistakes.
I'm a much
mistake.
Bigger fan of Klay Thompson.
I have a Klay jersey. Thank you, Ian.
You're welcome.
Klay Thompson is pure. He likes boating, and he likes his cute pup, Rocco the Bulldog. So.
My favorite thing ever, and I know I've told you about this, is I was watching. So I
just turned to basketball.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay. Because this is what we've turned into over the course of 10 years is old man basketball fans. You watch – you have a league pass, and you get to see all the stuff that goes on in between the commercial breaks. And
At the stadium.
And they were showing the Jumbotron once, and it was like this big stupid wheel that spun. And whatever it landed on, whatever instrument it landed on, everyone in the audience had to air do the instrument. Okay. So it was bongos, and everyone's out there like, you know, doing the bongo thing. And that shows Steph Curry on the screen playing some bongos.
Oh, I've seen that video.
And he's very,
very subdued, just is doing it just because PR told him to do it.
No rhythm, no rhythm sure. whatsoever. And then it shows Klay.
Hit the table, Ian. Let's get the sound effects. So Klay was experienced.
Yeah, Klay was very, very experienced. And I was like, see, he's cooler.
Yeah, you get a sandwich with Klay.
I'd get a sandwich with Klay.
You'd hang out. Klay would be your buddy group. He would come over and hang out. Yeah. Just listen to music, play some pinball.
Roll a few.
Roll it for a few, sure, absolutely. Anyone here a Knicks fan at all or Nets? Knicks fan?
I just like all basketball teams.
Hey, Knicks this year have two players I like, Dante and Brunson. I love Brunson. He's a dog. So if they get
Randall. Julius. You be mean to Julius.
I'm not mean, but he's got to show up sometimes. If they get a third player we really like, I'm back in on the Knicks after like 15 years of being off. I'll be back in.
Hearts, all right.
I'm almost back in the Knicks, so.
Anyway, if anyone wants to ask us questions about
10 years, 10 years.
Cooking.
If you've got any questions about 10 years, basketball, retro games.
We're here.
Yes.
Yeah, so out of the 10 years you guys have been doing it, it's been so much entertainment. All the wisdom you've bestowed over those years. The one gem I've been able to take and really benefit my life is your water pick advice.
Water pick. You want nice clean teeth? Water pick. Hashtag.
That's made such a difference, man. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Exclamation point water pick. Get a generic water pick on Amazon. Use my referral link. That's right.
Pat's pick. Code Pat's pick.
Yes. See me miss out not being in the Twitch stream every Wednesday with commercials?
Hey, guys. So last year at the Expo, I asked you when the N64 book is coming out. You said probably in a couple months the Kickstarter should go live. So this year my question is, when is the N64 Kickstarter going to go live?
Pre-orders will be available this year for the N64 book. I wanted to wait until I don't like certain things in the video game space. I like to make sure I see a finish line before I'm entrusted with people's money. I could have taken pre-orders for this a year or two ago if I wanted to, but I'm not comfortable until I see the end zone and I'm rushing towards it.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
This time next year, that book will be out, or else you'll never see me again, because that's how bad the experience has been doing the book.
How you guys doing? I just wanted to ask you a question, Pat. Yeah. What are the pros and cons of YouTube when you first started, and what are the pros and cons of YouTube now?
the pros and cons of YouTube when it started. The pros of it when it started is that it was like a way of getting entertainment created that you create independently, seen by a bunch of random strangers. Because before that, there wasn't a way to quickly and easily do that,
no.
especially for free. So it was a good artistic output to do it. The cons at the time were, well, you had the 10-minute upload limit for years and years. I didn't care that it wasn't monetized, but it was only monetized for special partners early on. I didn't care about that, though. I guess the other pro was like there was a lot less competition. You weren't competing with so many channels, so that probably would help a lot of people earlier on. The pros and cons now, oh God, this could turn a whole conversation. I think the
all the shitheads. Like,
there's a lot of bad folks on YouTube that have audiences that YouTube should be like, hey, these people, you know, they're spreading misinformation or bad stuff or whatever. But the algorithm, people, the algorithm almost like creates the entertainment that people watch now, because people then shift their creativity towards, well, what do I think the algorithm's gonna want people to watch versus just doing your own thing. So like a few years ago, I remember telling you about this after I moved into Castle Country. It's like 3-4 years ago. All the back catalog stuff that I had, and a lot of people, the views just dropped month to month, like in half overnight, because all of a sudden they're like, we don't want people watching old evergreen content anymore like this. We want fresher content and more uploads. So they're constantly tinkering with an algorithm, and unless you know what the system wants, it's tough to predict what you're going to do on views.
Well, turning to churn too, like, you know, it's the episodic content is not the thing anymore. It's get a little tidbit of news and immediately jump in front of your video game wall and talk about it.
That too, but like I put so much time into that Steam events video
that
came out, and I was so disappointed that the views it did were so little. Probably because at the time it was probably like, well, for this channel, this isn't the type of content people want. Maybe people only want podcast content. It's rough. But then like I did a video last year saying I quit my job after 10 years and it got over 100,000 views, and I put zero effort into that video. That's just how it is, though. Effort has, when we did video game years, that was probably at the time the most work, I mean, ever put into a retro video game video series. Probably, could be almost to this day. Like the amount of man hours, number of people, and the amount of views it did was so low, I really was like, I don't know what this platform is for then. It's not for this content. This was also 10 years ago though, but it was really a punch in the gut that like, wow, video game years is excellent. People enjoy it, but no one's seeing it on YouTube. And then I was on Prime, a ton of people saw it when it got to Prime.
Which though is interesting to me. Like, was it ever promoted on Amazon Prime?
No, it just it got in the algorithm.
Because you can find some really weird stuff on Amazon Prime if you go looking, but that's what I figured you would have had to have dove for.
It got in the algorithm. There was a long watch time. So honestly, if Video Game Years came out in 2023, being that they're all like, you know, hour long and tons of watch time, it probably would have blew up. It was the wrong time for it.
I'm kind of glad that no one asks about Video Game Years 90s anymore.
Oh, people still ask me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. All right, thanks.
Well, thank you, guys. Keep rocking.
Woo!
Ow!
Keep on rocking in Long Island.
Hey there, Pat and Ian. Hey. I have a quick question for you. So with the emergence of AI, and especially with, you know, with the Hollywood writer's strike going on and the actor's strike going on, when do you see AI being used more towards video game creation?
Oh, hopefully fucking never. I mean, that's...
For artwork and graphics, or you mean for stories or everything?
For stories
and everything. I think stories you're not going to see for a long time, because you're never going to have, like, you're never going to have an AI that experiences things in a soulful way to, like, reach down and really do that sort of, like, deep art that comes from, like, pain and anguish or happiness that, like...
Yeah, but the problem is how many people want that now, and that's the terrifying thing.
True, but...
What kind of pablum can
tell? But even when you see, like, AI art, you're like, I can kind of tell that soulless.
Mm-hmm.
It'll, at least, you know, he's like, this is just a pastiche of other styles and other pre-existing things. And that's what AI is.
And with stories, you're just going to get constant distillations of other stories and ideas. It's not going to come up with anything unique on its own.
The art thing for games as AI art, I don't know if that's as big of a concern just because... Yeah. There's so many Unity assets and things that are free that are, most of these games that come out, or most, a lot of them they buy this art that pre-exists anyway. There's tons of packs for this stuff. So that, it's almost like it'd be almost too much trouble to try to AI create an entire Like
sadly not. I've seen games now, a lot of newer like churn, like asset flips indie games using, it even says right in the description, with AI assisted art. And it's very, very obvious.
Well, I guess at some point Steam will probably crack down on that.
I would be very surprised.
You think so? Well, that's disconcerting.
Yeah.
But I think we're way far away from like, oh, this is a movie that was like written by AI and has all AI art. I'm like, I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon. And that's hopefully what the strikes hopefully prevent, especially for the writers, where we're not going to be doing AI written material and filming it. It's just ridiculous.
I think that's one of the biggest stakes with it, because there was that, you know, the info going around about like people getting scanned for $400 and then
for background actors. Yeah, that's on the actor side, where they want to scan your image and then we'll use your face for an eternity in a movie as a background. Well, like, hey, we're gonna scan all your face in the audience. We'll just use you in movies forever, and not have to credit or pay you. It's like, oh, okay, that seems over the top evil.
Yeah. Sign up for your 8th month rent, $400. Jesus.
Congrats on reaching 350, and I'm glad with the new transition to these specials that you guys have been creating. I know it's not as getting the same content we're used to, but you know, I'm glad to see you guys in a better place as well.
Crumbs are better than nothing. Thank you.
Hey, Pat and Ian, welcome back again. I'm glad to see you guys again.
Good to see you.
I just want to ask you a question. That video that you guys roasted Tommy Tallarico was excellent. Excellent.
It was 50.
With that apology letter oh my God, you guys destroyed him.
The apology letter
that hour long, that was
the video he posted?
Yeah.
Oh, the response to his weird private video that he posted everywhere?
Yeah, but my question is,
the pasta
come up
pals,
and have pasta.
Yeah.
Come over
just,
here.
Let's break the bread.
Come on, man. Anyways, my question is for you guys, is how do you guys feel about Starfield? Do you think there's going to be a too big of a game to even complete?
Have you heard about the scope?
I mean, I have, and it's huge, and I wish I had a better answer. Other day, I don't really play these types of games anymore. Yeah, yeah. I'm so divorced from big budget AAA gaming that I really don't know. Like, I was talking to a friend earlier, and I said to her, I'm interested in Armored Core 6, but that's the first – I mean, I'm going to play the shit out of that. Like, that's a guarantee. I love the series. Mm. But that's the first game, like, big studio, big budget that I've played in forever. And I think a lot of the reason is I don't like games that are that big. I don't like open world stuff. I kind of want a more guided, curated experience. So – I do think Starfield will be too big for me. Yes.
But you like the other space exploration games.
Yeah, I love No Man's Sky, but that's because I just dick around. I don't do anything in No
Man's
Sky.
Well, this is supposed to have over 1,000 planets
in
100 different star systems. So if that's not procedure generated, if they actually carefully made 1,000 planets, I'm sure most don't have people on them. It's like just rocks and garbage.
We'll not
weird dinosaur creatures that are procedurally generated.
We love the weird dinosaur
creatures, even though they falsely advertised that at the beginning. Anyway.
Well, that game is like 500 times bigger than what it released as.
So, we'll see. I like the space exploration stuff. So Starfield is something I'll keep an eye on it.
I want to see what it's like.
All right, thank you very much.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
What is the first game the two of you fell in love with as a child? I'm fully aware tastes change, but I'm just curious. What was the first game the two of you fell in love with as children?
So I've got two. I know I loved video games as a kid. I was talking to my friend the other day here about how much I love the Atari 5200 version of Pac-Man. I consider it my Pac-Man because I played it with my grandfather. But two games that I became obsessed with as a kid were the first two games I rented for the Nintendo when I had a friend sleep over, and I was like 7 or 8, 9. And they were Mappyland and Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle. And I still love both those games to death. I love the entire Crazy Castle series. I have almost all of them. But yeah, those were like two of the games that I played. I loved them. They were only rentals. And when I got my first paycheck and went to the flea market, they were probably the first two games that I picked up that weren't purchased for me by like my parents or grandparents or something like that.
Oh, this is tough. It would have to be going into the Spaceport Arcade in the back, past the bikers, while my father was playing whatever he was playing like in 85, 84.
Grown man golf or something like that.
I forgot, because that was before Operation Wolf. So I don't know what game he was playing. He used to always play Operation Wolf, but that was like 86 or 87. 86,
Operation Wolf?
86, I think, was Operation Wolf. So maybe around the time, but the Spy Hunter, the sit-down cockpit version where it's all around you and the speakers are right there and right. has the good bass. And
that's a good choice.
Ooh, just everything. The fact that you had the blinking lights for all your weapons. The Peter Gunn theme is amazing, but I haven't been in one in forever. And it's like, I would love to own that sit-down version of that game. The wheel and everything was amazing. The shifter for high and low.
The sit-down games were always so cool as a kid. Another one of my earliest memories, I don't think of it as much because it never got a good port. But my dad used to take me to this arcade in Buffalo called Fun and Games, and they had the sit-down Star Wars. And I remember playing that with him. And the sit-down Star Wars, the same. The sound is great.
Sure.
You just sucked in.
We went to black here.
All right. Before I go, I just wanted to say the NES and Super NES books have been wonderful. I'm actually one of your backers. I'm Minor Enigma, and if you make another book, I'll back that too.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, Pat and Ian. Thank you guys for coming to LA Retro Gaming. This is probably more geared towards Ian, but Pat, feel free to chime in too. We know about heritage auctions and their numerous transgressions in the world of video game collecting. We know that over the last year they've been expanding into VHS and sealed VHS and that sort of thing and screwing that market up. Are you aware that they're now making a very serious push into the world of record collecting? And how do you feel about that?
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, we're screwed.
That's miserable.
It is.
And Jesus.
What will work though? It's an established market and you have savvy collectors.
I don't think they're No. Please God no.
The difference is, record collecting is around for decades and decades.
An established scene, and I mean, it doesn't make sense to me for it to work because it's already kind of established in record collecting that you don't keep your shit sealed because it fucking ruins it. And that's, I was talking, was it you or Frank yesterday talking about how before it opened, I was looking at all the computer software up front.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of it that they kept sealed because it's sealed. You know, that's, oh my God, it's brand new. But the boxes are crushed.
Yeah.
Absolute shit. And records are really bad about that if you find like old sealed records because you've only got a solid circle and you've got four floppy corners and it just starts to bend and crush it in.
So do they have an acrylic case for the albums already?
They do, and that concerns me because the idea behind is that it's protecting the record. But for decades, there have been protective PVC outer sleeves that are known to destroy the record over time. How do we know that these don't outgas or something and destroy the record that's in?
Well, and I think that goes for anything that is sealed, like, you know, with a sealed Nintendo game. It's not a maybe. You give it 50 years, it's going to look like shit. And then what does your 9.8, you know, very good plus mean? Nothing.
Plus.
And that's what will happen to... my question is, are they just trying... I still think it's stupid if it's unsealed records, but I know these fuckers are going to try to put a fine point on sealed collected records.
It does get better for the unsealed records because the way that they're making that very unique is they are needle dropping and doing digital transfers of the record's content and offering them to whoever's getting it.
WADA does that too, and it's cute sounding.
NFTs.
But NFTs.
Yeah, that's how they're doing it. And I think that's a whole legal minefield for them with the major record labels too. If they're doing, you know, that's a whole can of worms.
All right,
ruined my day.
We'll have to keep track of that. We'll have to keep track as that goes.
Boo Heritage Auctions, everyone. Thank you guys for coming.
Thanks for depressing Ian.
I have two questions. One, what exactly inspired you to start up a podcast?
We were bored.
I was doing my awkward live stream.
Yeah, and I was like, podcast. These are awkward. And I said, let's focus this up.
And that's what, so you two were starting a podcast because you were bored. Like, no other.
I think this is boring. I figured, well, you know, we have good conversations.
Yeah, it's just like you were talking, you're like, I think the thing I remembered you saying was, I do these 3-hour things and people tune in, but I'm not exactly sure why. And I think you were kind of bored with it. And it was like, well, focus on some topics to talk about.
That's
kind of what I remember.
That makes sense.
You were like bored with the 3-hour streams.
Hey, Patty, and hi. Can you hear me?
Hi, Elvis.
Hey.
Hey, see, he knows my name, guys. That's great. I honestly feel kind of ashamed. I didn't know your podcast has been around for 10 years, so I want to congratulate you personally. I could be here all day talking to you guys, but it's almost the end of the podcast, so I won't do that. Plus, I could talk to you later in your powder room, right?
Yeah, we'll be at our booth afterwards.
Yeah, so absolutely. I guess my question before I take up too much of your time is that since we're talking about the Nintendo Switch 2, here's a fun question to ask. Do you think Nintendo is in a rush to even make a Switch 2 because the sales for Switch is still going high and Mario Kart is still going high too?
They've started to dip, and I think that's probably the bigger indicator that it's actually coming because they did start to kind of crest.
Yeah, I mean, 7 years is a long time.
For Nintendo, especially.
For any console platform. So, I mean, and plus you're going to have third-party devs are going to be like, well, we want to use some newer tools that we want hardware to support. And that's probably, it's a combination of things that happens, you know? Like, if you want to do a sequel, like I said, the Rabbids game, maybe you want to...
Well, there's a sequel, but yeah, probably.
I mean, a new one. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, you want to use tools that you know, technology jumps. You know, Nintendo's always a generation behind, and it seems like they're always playing catch-up, so I think it's the time. With their machine learning, that they patented.
We got to talk about that later.
Patented.
Okay. I knew you were going to do that as soon as it came out of your mouth.
Patented.
All right. Well, I'll go by you guys later in your booth, but thank you.
Get it? Because it's patented.
I'll try to see you guys more often. I got, like, hours of entertainment to work to get behind, so.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Patented.
Stop it. What? Jesus, please.
You okay?
Please.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
First of all, I just want to say thanks again for signing my cart. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Can't wait to put it on eBay and be your next scumbag seller of the week.
Hell yeah.
There is someone that's still auctioning off...
I'm kidding.
A signed... my book?
Yep.
It has like $1,000 on eBay. I had a spite or something.
It's it's a good thing. It's like a canary in a cage. Because if it sells, that's when you know that iron is like, right. That's when it's time to strike.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. It's going right on my shelf, you know. Oh. But just two quick questions. I'm just curious. What's your favorite LGN games?
For all consoles or just NES?
Let's just say NES.
I love Jaws, but I mean, Atlas
that's
developed
my favorite.
It.
Jaws is my favorite.
Jaws is a good game.
I like Jaws, and then any system?
TNC I love.
Let's stick with NES, I guess.
Oh, damn.
You got TNC.
TNC is good.
Cool Cat. We stand Cool Cat, the surfer cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What did you give that look for?
I was like, Cool Cat.
The tuxedo cat.
Yeah. Tuxedo cat. That was
Cool Cat.
Cool Cat.
All right. And this, I don't know why, what prompted me to ask this. Do you prefer pizza rolls or pizza bagels?
Pizza roll.
Pizza bagels.
Ooh.
Yeah, you want to know why? You know what really solidified it for me? Because I am easily manipulated by TV and cartoons. And one of my favorite cartoons is We Bare Bears.
Love that show.
And Ice Bear loves pizza bagels. They all like pizza bagels, but Ice Bear really likes pizza bagels. So I was like, fuck it. If ride or die, if it comes down to a choice like today, apparently when I decided this like 5-6 years ago, I didn't realize the answer is pizza bagels.
I don't think my mom ever bought me pizza bagels or pizza
rolls.
My mom
used to make them.
Oh,
that was good.
That's love.
But now every once in a while I'll buy like a 24 rack of bagel bites and just house it.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's your answer.
Great answer. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
Ian Housen pizza bagels. That's an image.
Well, now that we're all hungry, my question will be a public service announcement. So you guys have been here before. I have not. I want a pizza. Where do I go?
Oh, they're the people that ask up there. They're the locals.
They're the ones who would really know. I had pizza from D'Angelo this time when I came in, and it was very good. I had a Sicilian and a regular. The Sicilian was...
Little Vincent's.
Cool. Yeah.
Little Vincent's?
Little Vincent's.
Answer. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I don't have time.
Just look at this as we're your live Yelp right here.
Okay. It's time for my question. First of all, Pat, congratulations on 15 years on YouTube.
Thank you so much.
And to you and Ian on 10 years of the CU podcast.
Thank you.
There's some clapping. All right.
There we go. And I saw a Black Tiger cabinet upstairs. So
Black Tiger.
Yeah.
Someone else told me it was rare. Remember the last Fleetwood Mac? Yes. It's a rare Black Tiger cabinet. And I was like, yeah, it's super rare.
It's a good game.
Yeah. My question is, family or friends that were in Pat the NES Punk episodes, are they ever recognized? Like Allison?
Going back, Allison. I don't know if Allison's been recognized. Shout out to, remember Allison? Knee me in the balls.
Yep, that was good. That was high comedy.
That was real. That reaction was real.
Nut pain is hilarious. Yes,
that was a real shot. She missed the thigh and got one of the boys. Allison,
you wanted her to do that, right?
I don't know if Allison has been recognized. I haven't talked to Allison in years and years. She was in the 10th anniversary video. She had a cameo. Frank gets recognized all the time around time. Frank gets recognized randomly. Plus, because Frank actually has a unique look and he's loud, has that voice.
You can't miss Frank.
Can't miss Frank. Frank's been recognized. Yep. I think Frank's been recognized in public more than me. Like, he goes, yeah, someone last week saw me at the supermarket and said
hi. He's kind of like Peter Falk in that way that you can't identify him as anyone else.
I don't hear the resemblance to
Peter. Yeah, you can never recast Frank, right? That's it. He's locked in. It's like Indiana Jones. You can't recast him.
Just one more thing. You know, like the Peter Falk Columbo catchphrase. And that was it.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that. Thank you again.
All right. One more thing. Just one more thing. And the best shirt ever, the Super Potato shirt.
It's a nice shirt. I like it. Good stuff.
I'll get there eventually in Japan.
All right, then. So, first of all, I want to say it's great to be within your presence, standing within your presence. Your episode with the Angry Video Game Nerd on Nintendo World Championships is among the best he's ever produced, and part of that is due to the fact that you were there.
Oh, that's a praise beam directed.
Thank
right
you so
at
much.
You.
Shout out NWC Video. We co-wrote that one. That was a collaboration. That was a good video.
Fantastic episode. Two quick questions. The first one's going to be quicker than the next one. First one is, what was it like working with James Rolfe on the episode, from what you can recall?
On the first one? Because we worked together several times.
Nintendo World Championship, specifically.
Well, it was interesting because we had done little things before together. We did the first NES Marathon. He did a little top secret episode one.
I always like those videos Harris did for the marathon.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. We've done like nine of them together, nine or ten. But the working with James was interesting because we have extremely different personalities. Right. He's more quiet. He's nicer than me. I'm an ass.
You're just a little gruff.
Thanks, Ian. But our like sensibilities of like storytelling are somewhat similar, and our senses of humor is about like what we think is funny. Like, what do we think this is funny? Is that joke funny or is this moment funny? We're like lockstep for that. So our sense of humor that's why that came together well. We didn't really argue or disagree about anything. It was like building upon script ideas and sending things back and forth. So like he thought things I did were funny. I thought things that he did were funny. So we were like lockstep, except for everything but the ending we disagreed on with that. I wanted to go a little bit more subtle on the ending. He wanted the over the top, you know, Three Stooges sort of ending. That was about it. But that's why we get along so well, and that's why we like trust each other working together. Like on Combat, for example, like I wrote that thing and he was like, let's do it. Like, you know, he trusted that what I was going to do with the character was going to be like proper and respectful and like not just abusing this sort of like a brand that was been built up for like at this point almost 20 years. First AVGN stuff was like 2004, I believe. It's almost 20 years. Jesus. 2006 on YouTube, but he was doing like the VHS like short film stuff before that. So yeah, no, working with James is great. I want to work with him again in the future. We'll see. Right. But he's always open to, you know, he's always receptive to like good ideas with the character.
Yeah. The second question that I've got, and I'm sure you two are able to answer this quite easily because you've just consumed so much media. What is your favorite example of Hollywood getting video games blatantly wrong? And this can be as something in the case of, for example, character sitting in the living room playing with a Logitech USB controller, absolutely mashing the button, and it's the stock Atari sound effects playing. That kind of example. Where it's
well, that's
this is a really good question, and I wish I had it. Like,
the worst example of them just not getting it right.
Totally wrong.
I mean, I hated Stranger Things, how they were saying in 85 how everyone had an NES, or in 86 is like no one in the Midwest has having an 86 had an NES and was like, oh, it's like a term like Atari now, and Nintendo is like, no, it wasn't. Right. That was not written for people that were here, though. They're in Europe. So I'm like, that makes sense, but that bothered me because they did it three times that season.
Right.
We're gonna, you kids playing your Nintendo. It's like, dude, you have no idea what Nintendo is in spring of 86. You have no clue.
I can't think of a worst, but I can give you one of my favorite, and it's accurate, pretty accurate, Karate Champ in Bloodsport.
Oh, that's a great one.
There you go.
You got to throw any Bloodsport reference you can throw in here.
Any time. I can't
perform. What's another one that was totally wrong? You said you had a problem with Ready Player One? The use of
it? I was just being a jerk. I mean, I don't like – I hated the movie.
I didn't hate it. I just didn't see like – wow, it's a bunch of nostalgia thrown at you in different characters.
Yeah, I hate nostalgia. I find poisonous. But I find it poisonous, and that it gave me poison.
Was that the appeal to some people? It's like, oh, I see.
Yes. It was just masturbatory nostalgia trip. Yeah.
It makes the two of you feel any better when my mate and I went to go see it for the first time. We were the only two people in the theater. And this was within opening weekend, as in the only two people that were present.
Well, it made money. No,
right.
Yeah. Didn't seem that way. Went to the cinema, genuinely. So. Yeah, that was it.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
How much time? We got a few more minutes. We got
a few more.
That's three. One last question.
We got one.
It's already three.
Perfect.
Wow.
I just performed like a whole acrobatic thing to get over here.
Oh, you okay? Here?
Yes, doing perfectly fine. My question is, what are your thoughts on the 2006 Happy Madison production film, Grandma's Boy?
Grandma's Boy. I've only heard wonderful things about that movie. I've not seen Grandma's Boy. Have you seen it?
I have, but it's been so long.
Who's the guy that stars in that?
I don't know. That memory.
Scott Swartzen, is that his name? Nick Swartzen, is that the person in Grandma's Boy?
He went on tour for it, but he's not in it.
Is it the guy that was always playing the roller skating guy on Reno 911, right? He's the one that starred in that? Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know anything about that movie.
I wish
I could answer.
Oh, no, it's fire. I mean, check it out.
It's fire.
Definitely an Ian type of movie.
It's an Ian type of movie.
Okay.
You know, it's all about, it's just fire. Yeah, they get stoned.
Basically,
all the time.
They get high a lot.
All right, well, I'll let Ian watch that one and report back to me.
I'm looking forward
it's
to it.
It's fire. Yeah. I'll trust that recommendation. What's the IMDb on Grandma's Boy? Let's look that up.
I know people like it.
What's the over under of 3.5 out of 10 for that? IMDb. I think he's trying to troll us.
No, I don't think he is. People like that movie.
No, yeah. Grandma.
He's not trying to troll anyone. I've seen it, but.
That's from 2006. The IMDb on Grandma's Boy. Oh, it's 6.9 out of 10.
Which is every movie ever made on IMDb.
I hear some nices in the crowd. 86,000 ratings. Okay.
Well, it's got video games.
Okay.
It's got weed. And it's got a monkey. So you should check it out.
A monkey?
Okay. That sells me.
All right.
It's always a pleasure.
But it doesn't have cannolis, which are waiting for us back at our booth. You can come say hi to us.
Yeah.
Yes, so, Kevin Nash is in the beginning. He's one of the movers.
Making connections.
That's all the time we got. We'll be back at our booth. Come say hi. Watch us throw down some Italian pastries and have fun the rest of your weekend here at Long Island Retro Gaming Expo.